to 1 Corinthians and go to Psalms chapter 1. I've started in my personal devotions to watch a YouTube channel that gives you a short breakdown of the Psalms. Also, I can't support... If I say something about something that I'm using, it doesn't mean that I support everything about it, okay? So please, when I say something, don't think that Pastor James is saying everything about this is good. But there's a YouTube channel called Bible Project. There's a lot that I don't like about it, but the breaking down and explaining of books to some extent and giving order of books is very good. All right, so there's some things that I learned. There's some dangers too. They're a little bit more newer than I'd like as far as some of their philosophies, and they have some bad philosophies about the some falsehoods that I think are very bad. But their breakdown of Psalms helped me understand that Psalms is really a collection of Psalms that are put into five different books, if you will, and then it helped explain something I never understood. So I've really been praying, because a lot of people find really great help out of Psalms, and Psalms has always been a conundrum to me personally. I've never been really, maybe this is bad to say, but if it's bad, I've never been really blessed by reading through Psalms, and I really want to be blessed by reading through Psalms. So I want to learn what Psalms has to say about trusting in the Lord and then looking to the Lord and His kingdom coming. And Psalms chapter 1 and chapter 2 is a really good introduction to what the whole Psalms is about. And it's about following the Torah and listening to God's way. And then secondly, it's about if you follow the Torah, God's kingdom is going to come, and you won't be part of the rebellious, but you'll be part of the ones that are going into Christ's kingdom. And we'll get into that a little bit more as we progress in this sermon. But the first thing I want to do is just read the whole Psalms. It's only six verses. So, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would use this sermon to your will and what you will perform through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Paths are vitally important, for they take you to a destination. The paths that are contrasted in Psalms chapter 1 are paths that are directed by different kingdoms. All right? We see the kingdom of those that are blessed, and we see the kingdom of those that are not blessed. Now, we can see this fact because of Psalms chapter 2. The son of Jehovah's kingdom, or Yahweh's kingdom. Look, I know this is very... very hard to explain the Trinity. Of course, I think Jesus Christ is Yahweh and the Father is Yahweh. They both are. But an explanation to how they work with us in Psalms chapter 2, Yahweh is sending his son, and he's giving the earth as an inheritance to his only begotten or one and only son. All right? So I believe that the Son and the Father and the Holy Spirit are all coexistent, co-equal, and have all the attributes and perfection of being God, right? Also, when it comes to how they deal with us, they play different roles, all right? So we can see that the son of Jehovah's kingdom will conquer all earthly kingdoms that are ruled by King Satan. We understand that the world was given over to King Satan. The earth was given over to King Satan because of Adam and Eve's choice to forfeit their rights as being God's representatives on the earth when they decided to let themselves, Eve being tricked, and then Adam willingly followed Satan's deception. And because of that, what happens? And by the way, I think that we need to realize that we are in a world that is run by King Satan, but he does not run the universe. And God one day will take his rightful place as the physical and spiritual leader of this world in Jerusalem in the millennial kingdom. We see the character of those of the ones that are being blessed. And we see the character of those that are declaring who is blessed by what he avoids. So a man is joyful and happy when he doesn't take repeated steps in the direction of the guilty, wicked, condemned man. He doesn't abide or establish or endure in the path of the one who is missing the mark of God, who is an offender of the will of God. He doesn't sit himself down and remain in the inhabited places of the scorners and scoffers at the way of God. On the contrary of what was just mentioned, a blessed man will desire and take pleasure in the things of the law or the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Also, this is directly what the law is saying in the Hebrew. It's talking about the Pentateuch, but also I think secondarily it can apply to the wisdom that comes from the Word of God. If you want to be blessed, if you want to live a joyful life, if you want to live a life filled with contentment, then you must give yourself over to following through the power of the Holy Spirit as New Testament saints, His direction instead of your flesh's desires. We keep on saying that, and I'll repeat that over and over again because I think it is a repeated decision that we as Christians make on a moment-by-moment basis throughout our life. Giving into the desires of the flesh that go against the direction of the Holy Spirit is something that all of us have to face in this life. If we want a happy life, we will study the Word of God, study His love letter to us, and then trust in the empowerment of the new birth that has taken place in our lives at salvation, along with that new birth, the new privileges of being the sons of God, and now having the authority and power over sin through the power of the Holy Spirit to say no to our desires and instead to be a living sacrifice to the will of God as the Holy Spirit leads us in the paths of righteousness. If you are a Christian, you will want to go that direction, or you will have chaos instead of order. You will have grief instead of joy. You will have heartache instead of fulfillment as a Christian in your life. He will meditate and ponder on the things of the law. The law will continually be on his mind. If you are blessed man, is the law on our mind? Well, I can say this. If the Word of God isn't on our mind, if the position we have in Christ is not on our mind, we are not going to be fulfilled or blessed men. We start our path in walking in ungodly counsel that is all around us. We start in standing in the ways that are constantly missing the righteousness as the mark that God has given to them. And then we begin to sit down and listen to the scorners of this world if we're not careful as Christians. Through education, through indoctrination, through entertainment, we must be very wary in the world that we live in that we are not giving heed to the direction of the ungodly. that we're not giving too much thought about the marks of our society that proclaim us successful or proclaim us defeated. We must not listen to the idols that people are putting up in this world and think that we as Christians should pursue those idolatrous, what are those called? Glass castles that crack under any type of pressure. We must not be like the foolish man that builds our hopes and our dreams on sand instead of building our hopes and dreams on the Word of God. Putting our trust in Jesus Christ. Putting our trust in the rock that remains through the storm. Storms are something that sin has produced in our environments. And because of that, we know that storms will come. Storms are part of God's plan to test our faith, to grow our maturity in Him. Because when life is smooth, you know what we start to do? We start to trust in ourselves. When life is going good, we start to take our eyes off of our goal, our high calling, the direction Jesus Christ wants us to go, and we start to put our eyes on entertainment and pleasure of this world. We begin to heed the direction of this world. Christians, it is so easy to heed the directions of this world. Our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God is the one that tries the heart. God is the one that can hold the reins of your inner man that nobody else sees. So what am I saying here? I'm saying this world can fool us. And when we think we're standing, we must take heed lest we're falling. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to take your eyes off of your own wisdom to put your eyes on God's wisdom. And at the end, we'll give direct application of people in the Bible that did not put their eyes on God. And then people of the Bible that did put their eyes on God. And then we can ask the question practically as we teach through the Psalms. What are we putting our eyes on? The law is to continually be on the mind of a blessed man. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. What is the law broken down into? Well, the law is broken down, and what is broken down into, according to Christ Himself, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love one another as yourself. What is that? On these two commandments, everything hinges in the law and prophets. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt take talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine head, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thy eyes." Let me stop here and say this to us as parents. Are we asking God for wisdom instead of correcting in frustration? We need to be training through our knowledge of our relationship with Christ, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God, in training and directing in each area of life. I feel like you, as older people within the church whose children are grown, this should be something that's on your heart to pray for us as younger parents, that we would know how to teach and train our kids. Look, education is not just about reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's about virtue, too. So in every opportunity that you as a parent, through the grace that God has afforded you, to be able to train and teach your kids, both in school and also in virtue, we must realize that God gives us opportunity in this world to show our children Christ and God through nature. I'm not saying he's part of nature. I'm not pantheistic. What I am saying is he is there, not inhabiting nature, but he sees all that happens in what he's created, and he sustains it all. So we need opportunity to train our children in how God is sustaining his creation, right? How God supplies the water, how God supplies the sun, how God supplies everything to his creation for the purpose of his honor and his glory. Verse 10, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he has sware unto his fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou filledest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. It's very interesting to me because this actually identifies the first sin of the universe. What's the first sin of the universe? Well, some created creature that was filled with beauty and filled with glory and filled with perfection and was the sum of all of God's, if you wanted a poster child for what angels were, Lucifer would have been the one that God showed you. Perfect for what God had prepared him to be. And what happened? He started to look at the wells he didn't dig. He started to look at the houses he didn't create. He started to look at the vineyards that he didn't plant. Are you getting it? He started to look at God's blessings that he had nothing to do with, that were totally given to him by God. And he started to try to take God's place instead of fearing and reverencing God and praising him for what God has done. And in the time of blessing, we must reverence God's position in our lives. As a pastor, I must reverence God's position in trials and in blessings. I must think, as the Apostle Paul, that I will rather glory in these persecutions, in these trials, in these infirmities that I have, because when I am weak, then he is strong. When we view the law of God, when we view the perfection of God, we realize that this Christian life isn't dependent on us trying harder to be better. It's dependent on us totally putting all reliance on what God has done for us through Christ. I find myself, when God starts to bless, to start to look at, well, now I can ease off in my Bible study, or now I can ease off in my dependence of God. And when that happens, you know what happens? I start to look at things that I haven't filled. Vineyards I haven't planted, houses I haven't built, wells that I haven't dug, and start to take the glory and depend on those things instead of worshiping my Creator. That's not being wise. That's being foolish. Let's be wise Christians. Let's understand that everything that God has given to us is for His glory and honor. So, the wicked. So what's the result of loving the law of God and meditating in it day and night? It establishes fruitful life that prospers according to God's timing. It brings fruit according to when God wants it to bring fruit. And I was thinking the other day that we were dealing with somebody that was in an emotional stage, and it would have been very easy for me to make the gospel into a sales pitch. And before I started Establish and teaching Establish, I would have been tempted to go and push for a profession. However, I have to trust how the Bible lays out the gospel plan and go according to what the Bible has to say. And when we trust in how God lays out His plan from creation to catastrophe to covenant to Christ, I'm not saying everybody has to do it this way, but as we trust that, and as we work hard, and as we do the work and the prayer depending on the scriptures. See, we keep on saying, and I want to make this very clear, the reason I like Establish is not because of man's wisdom, but it's constantly taking us back to the Word of God and constantly establishing us through the Word of God into the character of God. And because it's establishing us into the character of God, that in and of itself will show our inability to reach any of God's standards because we're fallen. And it helps us to see that God has, through the scriptures, pointed out His one and only way to restore relationship with us. I trust in Jesus Christ because the Old Testament identifies so many points of what the deliverer will be like. And Jesus Christ fulfills it all. Why do you believe in Jesus Christ? Well, the simple answer is because the Bible tells me so. And God wants us to have a relationship but He wants it to be dependent on what He says, not what we think. So blessed is a man that doesn't go by his own thinking, but instead dies to his thinking so that his mind may be renewed through the reading of God's word onto what God has to say about matters. God's timing is vital. However, the wicked are like the whole, winnowed, threshed part of the wheat that the wind drives away. The beaten part that covers the seed and the flesh part of the seed that we need. It's like that vanity. What can you use the whole of a seed for? Nothing. We let the wind drive it away. The wicked will not stand under God's verdict. The offender will not be in the multitude of the just, lawful, righteous men. Why? Because Jehovah discerns and approves of the path of the righteous, but the path of the wicked shall be destroyed. So I don't care how much your flesh agrees with the wicked direction of this world. Young person, I don't care how much your friends and your society laugh at you for keeping sex till marriage. It's God's way, not your way, that you need to follow. I don't care how much the society laughs and mocks about us trying to raise our family in a godly way through godly love. I really am not concerned about that and what the world has to say about that. I'm concerned about what God has to say. And if we live our lives according to the direction of what professional so-and-so says, that directly, now look, a broke clock's right how many times a day? Twice a day. So yeah, an unsaved person that's got, God's gifted them with brains, of course, I'm not asking my doctor to show me if they're Christian or not, okay? But however, I know if my doctor isn't Christian, that they're going to push me towards things that I might not want to do because I am a Christian. I think we need to be aware of that too. What am I saying here? I'm saying there's a push and a direction, and I'm not talking about just doing something because it's tradition. I'm talking about doing something because it's according to the Word of God. I have a lot of opinions that you will never hear about from the pulpit. Why? Because they're not directly pronounced in the Word of God. So we're careful about that. But what we're not what we are very careful also to do is to say, "Thus saith the Lord." This is what God says. The world has a different opinion. Satan doesn't come right out and represent himself with people that don't know how to argue a lie. There's people that are really good arguers that are liars. They can make you believe that the desert is filled with a lake. They're so good at talking. Okay? What is the statement? They could sell ice cubes to a penguin. So, people that are smooth talkers. The devil was a very smooth talker. He disguised his true intentions. So I'm not saying that the world doesn't have things that are tantalizing to our fleshly minds. But they're not eternal is what I'm trying to say. Only God's ways are eternal. Man's ways will be destroyed. Why will man's way be destroyed? Because Jehovah discerns and approves the path of the righteous, but the path of the wicked shall be destroyed. Paths are crucial. The paths that we take lead to a destination. We see that God gives us the ability to choose, but he doesn't give us the freedom to dictate the results of those choices. We have a choice in the path, but we have no say in the destination of that choice. God says the destination of the choice, not man. Psalms chapter 2 and verse 8. Having known this, and seeing that the destinations of our choices either lead us to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan, represented by the kingdoms of this world, what should we do? Well, here the Father promises the Son, "Ask of me," verse 8, "and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost part of thy earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him." What's the destination of us that put our trust in Jesus Christ? We'll be able to live with him throughout all eternity. What's the result of people that put their trust in the kings of this world, representing the representations of the king of this world, who is Satan right now? They'll be dashed to pieces. They'll be destroyed. Like a hammer hitting a pottery. That doesn't last. If you take a hammer and you start hitting your pottery, it's going to crash and break. So God's wrath and judgment, that's the destination of those that don't choose God's way. Total destruction. Deuteronomy 11:26-28 says it like this: "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. A curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I commanded you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known." Let's look at some examples of choices to see and understand the practical, this in a practical sense. Adam and Eve. Genesis 2, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. They were given a choice, but what's the destination for the wrong choice? Death. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made, and he said unto the woman, yeah, hath God said ye shall not eat of the tree, of every tree of the garden? See, Satan always disguises. He always comes and he disguises his true intentions. He doesn't come up and say, hey, I want y'all to die because I hate God. And God loves you and he made you in his image, so I can't attack God because he's so much bigger than me, but God, because he wants you to make a loving choice, gives you the freedom of choice. But I'm trying to convince you that this all-powerful creator that created the universe, that I rebelled against and was judged for and know is stronger than me, I want you to follow me. Is that how the devil represents himself? No, he represents himself according to the second epistle to the Corinthians. I believe it's in 11 or 12. He represents himself, chapter 11 or 12. He represents himself as an angel of light that's just trying to do what's best for you. This is the virtuous choice. This is what makes sense. If you were a loving parent, you would let your teenagers have whatever they desire. I'm a loving parent, so my four-year-old wants ice cream at 10 o'clock at night. And I want ice cream at 10 o'clock at night. And I want somebody to, so I don't feel so guilty. I had to get ice cream for her and me at 10 o'clock at night. Yeah. We know that having ice cream at 10 o'clock at night isn't the best thing for us, right? We know that things that taste good, now let me rephrase that. Things that are extra sweet with a lot of bad things that taste really good, because you can cook healthy and it tastes good too. But I don't, there's just something addictive about a really good sweet, right? And when you eat that and you're addicted to it, it makes you, while you're eating it, think that it's the best thing in the world for you. You're in euphoria. You're just loving it. And then the sugar rush dies. The headaches come. The stomach problems come. Diabetes comes. And you realize my desire didn't have the best intention for me. Right? I'm getting really practical here. Why? Because of our forefather Adam and his decision to listen to Satan, we have a co-pilot to please the flesh now. That's what our nature is. It's on co-pilot to please the flesh. Woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the tree of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which in the midst of the garden God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. So what is she doing right now? She's walking in the way of the wicked. She's standing in the way of the sinner. She's about to sit down in the seat of the scornful. And the serpent said unto her, woman, ye shall surely not die, for God doth know that the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Here she is sitting down in verse number 6, sitting down scorning God. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave it unto her husband with her, and he did eat. She made the choice. Was she free from the consequences of that choice? Verse 14 of Genesis 3, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows in thy conception, and sorrows thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. All the problems that marriage has, it's because two individuals decided to make a choice to listen and to walk and to stand and to sit. And he said unto Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten the tree which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and also the thistle shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, from dust thou art, and dust shalt thou return. Now in his mercy, we know that he provided a solution by killing a perfect substitute, a blood sacrifice, and then taking the skin of that blood sacrifice and covering the nakedness of Adam and Eve. Once they were in perfect fellowship, nothing to hide. Now they are standing in shame, and God, through his grace, gives them opportunity to wear what he has provided for covering of their shame. And now, praise the Lord, that picture is fulfilled in the person. And not only does he cover our shame, but he removes our shame from us. And we can stand with his righteousness, because his righteousness has been accounted to us. And the Father, when looking at us, even in our failure, sees the righteousness of his Son, imputed is the biblical word, placed upon us. This is God's way. God's way is, obey me, I have what's my best intentions. Man's way is something totally different. Cain and Abel in Genesis 4:3, in the process of time came it to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord, and Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Look at this. This amazes me. Verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Christian, when you're in the middle of giving into the desires of your flesh, do you not feel the Holy Spirit saying, what's the matter with you? Why aren't you putting your trust in me? Those who are not saved, when the word of God is preached and represented, you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, not in an audible voice, but in a strong, strong sense to say, come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit. Verse 7, if thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? Hey, Cain, you just have to come my way. I showed you the way. It's all you have to do. And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Cain, look, there is a destructive force behind you, addictive force behind you. If you give in to the desires that you have in your flesh, if you give in to the desires of self-righteousness that goes exactly in opposite of what I've commanded, it will take over. Everything you touch, it will take over. What was Cain's choice? To kill his brother? What happened? He went and he ran out. He put up walled cities. And in those cities, some things came that were good, like music and like being able to work with metal and brass. And he was very, very wise. But those decisions, even the good things, were tainted with evil, because it was evil that had taken over, to the point where God repented that he even created man, and he destroyed them in the flood. Look, the consequences of going your own direction causes destruction. Be like Moses in Christ. Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, what did he do? He decided to give up the pleasures of sin that were just for a season and to rather suffer with God's people. What did Jesus do? He counted it joy to follow his Father's plan and give his life for us. So those are just a few thoughts from Psalms chapter 1. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the direction of your word. May you use it in our lives. God, may I heed it as I preach it. There are so many different ways that the desire of my flesh can overtake, but I humbly believe and cry out to help, for you to help with my unbelief, so that we might see a life given over for your honor and glory, and total trust to the path that you will provide for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer request this evening.